We welcome you to worship. So excited that you are here this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we prepare for worship. First, we would like to find out who is here today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down. Give us contact information if you choose. Check the appropriate boxes. This is your opportunity to get your stretching in for the day as you move up and down the pew. We do ask, once everybody's done and it gets to the end of the pew, once you're done, send it back to where it got started. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that will help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for helping us with that. A few things I'll draw your attention to. Many of things are listed under upcoming events and opportunities for the week. With the snow this past week, we will extend our primary basketball by a week, so want you to make note of that. So two more weeks of primary basketball. Also, with the snow, we were unable to prepare our 144 envelopes. That will start up this coming Wednesday. This is a fundraiser for our high schoolers who will be headed to New York City. The way this works is starting Wednesday night, there'll be a table of 144 envelopes. On each envelope will be a dollar amount from one, two, three, up to $144. Inside each envelope will be a letter from one of our youth participants who's headed to New York talking about the trip, thanking you for donating, for supporting us through prayers and finances. What we're asking you to do, if those who are able, just pray for us. Pray for the team as we prepare. We're just a little over a month away from when we leave. Lots to do, lots to prepare for. So be praying for us. And those who are able to support us financially, grab an envelope with the dollar amount that you're able to support us with, from a dollar all the way to 144. Grab it. Put your donation in the envelope. Replace the letter. You take the letter home. And then pray for us. Pray for that individual youth that wrote the letter and place the donation there at the giving kiosk. There's a slot that you can do that with. And we hope that we will raise a considerable amount of money. New York City is an expensive place to live and to visit. And so we appreciate any gifts that you're able to provide for us. Let's see. Also, on the first Sunday of March, our Bridges ministry will kick off. Bridges is for all the adults in our church. We're having fellowship groups across the generations that come together over a meal. And we're going to have a covered dish supper on the first Sunday of March. So right after this service, on that Sunday, we're going to meet in Smith Hall. Anybody who's interested, to just figure it out, what's been going on, this is an easy way for you to come and be a part of that. Let's see, any other? We are having children's time today. Other things are listed there under opportunities for week up and opportunities for upcoming events. So let's see, I think that is it. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've already given us your information on the pew pad, and we are certainly thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship today. I know many of us have been at the house for the last few days and watching lots of Olympics. Anybody watch the Olympics? Anybody? Okay. You might see that hockey game. Hey, how about it? Well, I'm a fan of the USA, but I'm also a fan of the Carolina Hurricanes. Well, there are some players that are on the U.S. team that I don't very much like because they go against the Hurricanes. And so I felt very conflicted, right? Don't you feel that sometimes, but when they change the uniform, that changes everything, right? When they become part of the team, even doesn't matter what their past, if they're part of the team, it doesn't matter how they got on the team, if they're on it, if they wear that jersey, they are part of us. When you and I come to Christ, we are part of God's family. No matter what our history is, no matter what our story, no matter our sin, It is because of Jesus that we have a second chance. This morning, you and I have a second chance. Will we take advantage of being on God's team and that He has our back and He has prepared a way for us? Let us prepare for worship.
As you know, today is Senior Adult Sunday, when we celebrate those in our congregation who have given and are giving so much of themselves, of their talents, their time, and most importantly of all, of their prayers. Their spiritual presence means so much to us, and often they're referred to as angels among us. And we are just so thankful for our seniors and what they mean to College Park Baptist Church. So today, we celebrate them, and several of our senior adults will be helping to lead in worship, and thank you for doing this for us today. We just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for letting us hear from you and for allowing your gift and your dedication to be used in this service today. And today, we are most pleased to have Reverend Keith McKinney with us today. Raymond's away, and we had planned a while back to have Keith with us and thought it would be good to build a Senior Adult Sunday around this day. Keith is originally from Hendersonville, North Carolina, is a graduate of Gardner-Webb University, go Bulldogs, from Ken and I to him, and also the Divinity School there at Gardner-Webb University in Bowling Springs. He has served 10 years in the youth ministry, 4 years as pastor of First Baptist Church of Rural Hall, and has been serving for 2 years as the Director of Church and Community Relations with the Baptist Retirement Homes of North Carolina. He's been married to Renee for 13 years, and she's under the weather today, or she'd be here with us, and one son, Aiden, who is here with his dad today. And we're glad that Aiden's here. And just an interesting side note, Pastor Raymond and Keith are from the same home church, First Baptist Church of East Flat Rock, where Raymond was his youth minister. And you turned out pretty good, though, didn't you? Oh, goodness, I better be careful. I'll get in trouble. Don't tell him I said that. But if you would, at this time, we'll continue our worship if you'll join me in our invocation. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity to worship, to come together in spite of the cold, to find the warmth in each other in the presence of Jesus Christ in each other. Thank you, O Father God, for what we share here as a church, this fellowship of believers that rallies around you, that rallies around each other, that seeks to do the right thing, that seeks to reach and to care out for the hurting, and who seeks to put Jesus Christ first always. So guide us today. We give this service over to you for your honor, for your glory. Speak through those who will be sharing today. Guide through the prayers and the music. And may we just simply worship you. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Hail, 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 hail
Okay, I'll invite all the kids. Come on down for just a minute. Come on down. We'll wait for you. I do have things to give away if you want to come. I have some things to give away. Oh, now, did you see how fast? Look at that. Sit down and be still. Okay. All right. I knew they would come fast. All right, it's good. Did anybody have snow at your house? Yeah. Did anybody have a daddy who didn't have stuff on Valentine's Day because of the snow at your house? Oh, that was the preacher's kid. Okay, all right. Now, there's something that's really, really hard about Valentine's Day for me. I don't know if it's hard for you, but did you give candy to somebody for Valentine's Day? No? Not yet. It's February 16th. That was 2 days ago. Come on in. Hi. Come on in. Come take a seat. It's good to see everybody. Can you crisscross applesauce for me? Thank you. It's good to see everybody. Okay, so the thing that I find most difficult about Valentine's Day is giving away candy. Is it? You go to the store and you buy candy, and what do you do with it? You give it to somebody else. Does anybody else have a problem doing that? Y'all best raise your hands. I know y'all got a problem with it. Well, but you know what? I'm thinking about this morning, and it's Senior Adult Sunday, and you know what? You guys have some of the best people in the world who love you and continue to love you, from our senior adults to our Sunday school teachers. We have so many people that love you. But the interesting thing about love is when you give love to somebody else, guess what? Do you get love in return? Do you get love in return when you love somebody? Yeah. And here's what I want. I want to try a little experiment today. All right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, we got perfect number, okay? I'm going to give you a candy, all right? And we're going to do a little experiment. If you give this candy away to somebody not related to you, before you leave here today, if somebody out here, you give this away, I will give you 2 pieces of candy. Everybody goes, ooh, all right? So if you, I'm going to give, you can eat this or you give it to somebody else here. And how many pieces do you get? You know, the thing about Jesus' love, it's the same thing. We give away the love and it comes back to us even more. We need to be people who love, not people who take the candy for ourselves, but to tell people about Jesus' love. That's what these senior adults have done. That's what your Sunday school teachers have done. That's what we do as people who believe in Jesus. We give it away and we get it back. Is that a good plan? Okay, I will give you the candy after we pray, all right? And then, if you give it away, then I'll be outside and I'll have more candy for you. But you got to give it away. Is that a deal? All right, let's pray together. God, thank you so much for today. And the fact that you tell us that Jesus gave everything to us and he wants us to give it back to him. Help us to remember all the people who have loved us and have sacrificed things for us. Teach us to give your love away. And when we do, you will return it back to us. That's how love works. And that's how you work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Everybody gets a piece. Here we go. When you get your piece, you can go back to your seat.
Does it count if we can give it to our mom?
No, that doesn't count. No. There you go. Go back to your seat. Oh, that was a good job, Aiden. Aiden just gave it to Rebecca. There you go. All right, Aiden. I'll sit just like that. Boom, it works. All right. You can go back to your seat now.
Good job.
Hi, guys. Let's go back.
Go back to your seat. Go to your seat.
Our scripture this morning is rather important. It involves something that we all are very interested in. And it's spelled L-O-V-E, love. And it's taken from 1 John 4, 1 through 16. I have added one verse to it. So listen very carefully. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might love through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and it testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so, we know and rely on the love God has for us.
To me, this is rather an intimidating place I'm in this morning. So I hope you'll bear with me. Krista asked me this past week if I would mind sharing with you some comments regarding my Christian journey, and especially here at College Park. I was blessed to be reared in a family of good Christian people. I, being the eldest of three boys, was expected to be the first to try everything, the first to graduate from high school, the first to make profession of faith, the first to be baptized, the first to attend college and graduate, and so on. My dad was a Baptist minister. I think that that may answer some of your questions about some of my behavior. Having made a profession of faith as a teenager, it took me some time to begin to find my footing in my Christian journey. As I began to reflect my journey in faith, I realized that I've been blessed beyond measure. I can recall our first visit to College Park. Shortly afterwards, I can recall Foy Martin, the pastor at the time, visiting in our home in Ardmore, sharing with us about College Park. At that time, College Park was housed in what is now the chapel and the music suite. Little did I realize what an influence that decision to become a part of this church body would have on my life. During my reflections, I was drawn to some verses in Galatians, chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, or chapter 5, excuse me. They're not 15 chapters in Galatians, mind you. And also verses 22 and 23. I have that page turned down in my Bible, and there's a little mark at the top of the turn down, and I said there, this is a plan for life. It has been a plan for the church, this church, and I'm sure for many of you in your personal life. Now, I read those verses now. Verse 14, for the whole law is summed up in one commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But if you act like a wild animal, hurting and harming each other, then watch out, or you will completely destroy one another. Quite a contrast there. And then in verse 22 and 23, but the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. I shared those with you because they were the first thing that came to my mind about making the comments about my faith. We've had four pastors during the life of this congregation. I've been blessed to have journeyed with three of them, Foy Martin, Charles Edwards, Raymond Smith. In addition, the ordained staff members and other staff who've worked with each of them have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure to you as well. What a trio. I had to debate whether I wanted to put that in or not, but I'm talking about the trio of the three pastors that I've been blessed to have walked with here. As I continued my reflections, it was obvious to me that each of them was led to us and us to them by the Holy Spirit. My spiritual journey is one that has evolved. The more I've been willing to invest, the greater the joy and the spiritual growth. However, I take no credit. It is through observing and participating with this congregation that has inspired me to be more like you. We have been challenged by sermons delivered from this pulpit and demonstrated by the life of the three pastors who were called to lead us. The underlying zeal of this congregation has been missions. The mission of caring for others is ever present. In times of sorrow, in times of joy and celebration, in times of need, you have responded with love and compassion. Time will not permit me to elaborate, so I will ask you to reflect as I list some of those occasions I have observed, and most of these involve missions or outreach to other people. Childbirths and baby dedications, baptisms, music programs, Team IM projects, worship services led by the children and youth, deaths and funerals, mission projects such as Mountain Outreach, college students to Charleston, youth mission trips, Grifton, Pine Tops, weddings, WMU projects and programs, prayer partners, College Parkers and the programs that they have at lunchtime and their trips, the backpack program, school partnership program, Dulcimer Festival, Vacation Bible School, youth and family festivals that are held on the lawn here, budgeted missions. I've had the pleasure and the blessing of signing about 40 checks each quarter for missions That's in addition to the ones that we have emphasized here in the congregation from time to time. Grace Notes programs, and they're here this morning. Brookridge Services, Prison Ministries. I know I've overlooked some, but what I'm trying to say is that our spiritual journey is not turned inward, but is focused beyond the confines of this property. In conclusion, I have been blessed beyond measure to be a part of the Christian journey we're on. Thanks for allowing me to share my thoughts with you and teaching me so much during my journey and our journey together. May God bless each and every one of you.
I would be remiss if I didn't say something about what the seniors at this church have meant to me. The first time that I was at College Park Church, I was a freshman at Gardner Webb College. Ended up getting my MRS degree there. It's worked for, I've had it for 61 years and I'm becoming good at it. But College Park, in those days, we were meeting at Crystal Lake, and a lot of you are too young to remember Crystal Lake. but we met in the dance hall. I did that a couple of times when I came home for weekends from Garden Web, but became a charter member of College Park Baptist Church, but was only here for about 3 months because, as I said, my MRS degree took me out of town with Jay. But back to the seniors. You've meant so much to me in my marriage, and to our four boys are good, good men by the grace of God and by your training for them, and by grandchildren who were just more than I could ever tell you. God has been so gracious to us, and you have done such a great job of telling them all of the blessings that God can do for them through his grace. Thank you, seniors of College Park Baptist Church. We love you and appreciate you so much. Will you pray with me? Father God, we come to you with grateful hearts for your grace and love that encircles us every day. We thank you for the love of our fellow Christians in this, your sanctuary. We thank you for security and for so many wonderful blessings that you enrich our lives with. We pray that you would bless this dedicated staff at College Park and bless those of all of us with their guidance who attempt to follow you. We thank you for your word and the promises that we find there. Help us, Lord, to spread your word by the way we live each day. Now help us to be generous stewards of our worldly goods, and may we use these gifts to spread your love to those in our church, in our community, and in our city, and in your world. We love you, Father, and it's our sincere desire to serve you in our everyday life. We pray that you will receive the honor and the glory for everything that we do for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isn't it wonderful to be able to come out and to worship with their church family on such a day as this? And it's so good to see so many here today. When Chris asked me to talk on the program today about how God's love is manifest in me, at first I was hesitant. And then I was a little bit ashamed because, as the lyrics in the song go, God is so good. God is so good to me. And so, here I am. Many of you know that talking's not a problem of mine. I feel like I can hang with the best of them. But you put a microphone in front of me, and it's a little bit different story. Nevertheless, nerves and all, here I am. In trying to decide how to begin the presentation today, I was reminded of a trip that my sister and I took a few years ago down to Decatur in Bogart, Georgia, to visit some family members. My sister is somewhat like me because neither of us have a sense of direction. To ensure that we got to the right town and even in the right state, Bob went out and he purchased one of these portable GPS instruments for us to use. We programmed our destination in and felt quite confident as we were going down I-85. We were doing quite well until we got to pretty close to Decatur, where my exit was supposed to be. As you know, that's a pretty straight shot, and so we shouldn't have had any problem. But we noticed that little screen kept getting lighter and lighter. And as we got closer and closer to where we were supposed to get off, it went blank. No one ever told me that we had to plug in the GPS to have a source of power to keep it charged. To make a long story short, we saw a lot of Decatur that we hadn't planned on seeing. But nevertheless, we got there. Thinking back to that experience, I realized that following the instructions from Sirius, or whatever that person is called, on that GPS can be likened to traveling along the road of life's journey. You have to stay plugged into the power of God and follow His instructions to reap the full benefits of all the blessings that He has to offer. So how has God manifest His love in me? Number one, Jesus died on the cross for me, just as He did for everyone in this room and everyone beyond these walls of this church. Number two, God gave me godly parents, and for this I am so grateful. And to you and the congregation who have young children, the most important things you can give to your child is a godly background and a godly upbringing. Nothing can ever replace that. All these material things that we work and strive for, they will perish away, but the other will not. I believe that God truly led Bob and I to this church some 40-plus years ago. We came here to this community wanting to visit different places to see where we thought we would fit in. We were going to visit these others, the first one being College Park, but we never went to another church. We have truly been blessed in this congregation. God has allowed me to be a participant in some of the mission projects, as AC has already addressed. And to close to this Valentine Day, I must mention that God has blessed me with a good husband and a good marriage. A couple of weeks ago, I read about two ladies discussing how they spent their devotion time each day. And one lady said that she spent 30 minutes each morning communing with God. The other, surprised, asked, "What in the world do you say to God for 30 minutes straight every day?" The reply was, "You know that God already knows everything that we need and that the time should be in reflection of who he is and reading his word and listening for his directions. And then the hardest part is following what we have heard. Just like hearing directions on the GPS, if we don't follow God's directions, we never receive all the full benefits. Just who is God? As we've already heard in the scripture, 1 John 4:8 tells us that whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I would like to take just a couple of minutes to read to you from 1 Corinthians 13:1-7. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. If you want to see firsthand God's love in action, I would like to call your attention to just one organization in town. And I pause to say that there are many, but this one particular one, Meals on Wheels, I would like to call attention to, because in talking with one of the ladies the other day there is an urgent need for many volunteers. I would like to take this time for people to raise your hand if you're involved with that Meals on Wheels program. I know that there are quite a few of you, and I hesitate to call names because I'm afraid that I would miss some, but that is appreciated very much. The beauty of this program is that it does help senior adults, and that it takes only an hour and a half to 2 hours each time that a person volunteers. You don't have to cook anything. You don't have to do anything except take a pre-prepared meal to a senior who cannot get out of his or her home. You can volunteer once a month, twice a month, or even one day every week. And I will mention that John Vogler in this church does that. If you have no sense of direction, you don't have to worry, because they have it laid out very clearly for you. Pat Blackwell is the coordinator of this project in the church, and so I would love to encourage you to see her or any of these that raise their hand so that you too can become involved in this project. Because I believe that this is one of the many ways of being the hands and the feet of Jesus. So back to the question, how has God manifested his love in me? He's given me true joy, peace, and contentment. I experience this because I believe in God, his love, and his eternal salvation. The beauty of this, though, as stated before, is not just for me, it's for everyone who is in this world today, no matter where they are, as long as they believe and accept him as their Savior. As the old hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Raymond reminded us last Sunday that as Christians, we are all in this boat together. We all have the opportunity to experience God's love, grace, and all the many blessings that he has in store for us if we believe, listen, and heed his call. For this, thanks be to God.
Good morning. It is a privilege and an honor to be here at College Park. I want to thank Raymond and Krista for giving me a few minutes this morning, and I'll try to be mindful of that in just a few minutes. I'm glad Krista didn't say what I heard someone say who introduced a friend of mine this week who was known to go a little longer than his time slot, and she said what he needs is no introduction, what he needs is a conclusion. So I appreciate Krista not introducing me in that way. I don't want to go into all the different connections that I have here to College Park. Raymond and I grew up there in Hendersonville. He was my youth pastor growing up, but I've also had many connections recently with Jeff, with Mary, with Krista, and I was going to share some of those, but for the sake of time, I will not do that. But just know that I feel at home when I'm here at College Park and relate with you, maybe not so much every Sunday, but in many different ways. And I want to say every week, but at least every other week, there's some connection, some path, or maybe a person, a resident at Brook Ridge, or something that will cross the path each other. And so just know that you are loved, and your presence is also noted at Brook Ridge Retirement Community here in Winston-Salem. I think College Park is the church that has the largest number of members who are residents at one of our retirement communities. I say that because we have four retirement communities in the state, and I believe it's true that College Park has the largest presence of any church in our state at a retirement community, if that makes sense. But I believe there are 30-something members from College Park who are either residents or connected in some way with Brook Ridge here in Winston. And so please know that that presence is a welcomed presence here in Winston-Salem. Let me share a story with you of two older adults. They had each lost their spouse, and they started to befriend one another. That may have happened here in College Park. These two older adults started to befriend one another. And as you might imagine, they fell in love. And one day, the gentleman, as he did a lot of days, went over to the lady's house at lunch. And if it was a pretty day, unlike today in the sense of the weather, he would find her out back in the garden when she felt good and when it was warm enough. So this day, he found her there, and he got down on one knee, got his pants leg a little dirty, and it took him a while to get down there. But he asked her a very important question. He said, "Will you marry me?" Well, later that day, he got back in his car, and he went back to his place. But he had to call her back later that day, and he said, "I'm sorry to have to call and ask you this, but," he said, "I can't remember what you said." And to his surprise, she said, "I'm so glad you called. I couldn't remember who it was that asked me." And the reason that I share that is to say that at the Baptist Retirement Homes, we don't forget who our partners are. Unlike that older couple, we don't forget who our partners are. And College Park, for years, has been a strong partner with Baptist Retirement Homes in helping us do two things. Helping us promise lifetime care to all of our residents, because without the support of our churches and individuals across the state, we would not be able to care for our older people and make that lifetime care promise, is that even if your resources are depleted, we will continue to care for you for life. We make another promise as well, or another thing that we do with our benevolence, is that we admit some individuals into the health care side of what we do as an institution from day one who cannot afford the level of care that we offer. There's many, many financial challenges, and those become even greater in senior years. And so we admit those into health care who can't afford it, and we also make the lifetime care promise as well. What makes Brook Ridge very special and very unique is that we have most likely millionaires there, but we also have individuals who cannot afford the level of care they need. And so I think that's very unique about us as an institution. And what the great thing is those that are in health care, whether you have resources or whether you don't, receive the same level of treatment. And I think that is just remarkable. And so please know that we are grateful for College Park and for your gifts through budget and gifts through offering as well to our benevolent fund at Brook Ridge. We are grateful for that. Let me share another story with you. A little girl came home from church one Sunday, and she asked her mom and dad. She had heard the Sunday school teacher talking about kindness and heard the preacher talking about loving kindness, and she wanted to know what the difference was. Well, her mom and dad were very wise, and they said, "If you're hungry and we give you a piece of bread, that's kindness. But if we put peanut butter and jelly on it, that's loving kindness." And so I want to thank College Park for being the peanut butter and jelly on the bread of the Baptist Retirement Homes. because we would not be able to offer the care that we do to those without resources were it not for your gifts. And so please know we're grateful for that. I think it's also interesting to know, and you would be glad to know, that at Brookridge we have the oldest living resident in Forsyth County. Some of you know that, who may be a resident here at Brookridge or have connections there. But Mrs. Sina Hayes, and I can mention her name, I see some of you nodding your head. Mrs. Sina Hayes is a faithful member at Northwest Baptist Church here in Winston-Salem. And does somebody want to guess her age? She's 110. 110 years old, and this summer will be 111. But we currently have, I believe it is 5 residents in the, if we want to call it this, a centennial club. We currently have 5 residents who are over the age of 100. We have over 13 that are at Baptist retirement homes, meaning we have between 600 and 700 residents in 4 homes. We don't have a home just here in Winston, but we have 3 other homes in the state. And we have 13 of those residents, or maybe 14 or 15, who are over the age of 100. And being from Asheville and from Hendersonville area, in our Asheville home, we have 8. And Raymond would agree with me, or any of you from the West, I like to contribute that to that good mountain air. It's got to have something to do with it as well, I believe. But we were birthed in 1951. I won't go into everything that I was going to say, but we were birthed in 1951 right here in Winston-Salem by a group of Baptists here in the Pilot Mountain Baptist Association who believed that there was a better way to care for its older, aging population. And so Baptist Retirement Homes was birthed here in 51. We later went into another facility, and then in 1989, Brookridge Continuing Care Retirement Community was built and established, meaning that a couple could come in and live independently, and should one of them begin to decline in health, there's assisted living, there's health care, and there's a memory enhanced unit available as well. And so what's great is that a couple can come into our care and live independently, come and go as they please. But should one of them need health care, it's right there under the same umbrella of care. The one spouse can live in the independent living, either apartment or a garden home, while the other is receiving the care that they need there in nursing care. So please know we are grateful for your relationship with us. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we remain one of North Carolina's most respected providers for long-term care. I want to challenge you to do 3 things. I would say more, but I want to challenge you to do 3 things for us. One is pray for us. Pray for the residents, your members who are with us at Brookridge, but pray for Baptist retirement homes. And remember our staff. On Thursday, guess who was open? Baptist retirement homes. But the residents there receive 24/7 care, whether there's 12 inches of snow outside or not. And so, we're there around the clock. But I would encourage you to pray for those. You know, pray for those who have to get on the road and go to work on those days as well. But also give to us. And you already do that as a church. And please know, like I've said before, we're grateful for that. There's a different option as well for the kids to get involved. There's something called, for anybody, but it's the Family to Family campaign. It's a little card here where you can make these available, and you can put 5 $1 bills in there, and you can give up a fast food meal, or depending on where you buy your coffee, a cup of coffee during the week. But these resources go to senior adults who don't have their resources have become depleted, and they may need shoes or clothes. And this Family to Family helps them with that. So pray, give, and then just the last one: be involved in the life of an older adult. You have many opportunities to do that here at College Park. You have many opportunities to do that in your neighborhood or the community in which you live, and also just in this larger community of Winston-Salem. We often assume that all older adults are involved in a church, and that's not always the case. And so I invite you to be mindful of them. The last thing that I want to share with you, I had a kind of a message plan this morning, but I want to just walk through that very quickly. And it's I realize that's a risk when your minister says, I'm going to do something very quickly. But I really want to try to do this. But I want to ask you the question. If age could speak, what would it say? You've heard testimonies this morning, great testimonies from seniors here, which I want to say this too. Back in the mid-90s, I did some work here at College Park, did some summer youth camps and children's camps, and I think about that as I see some faces that I recognize. Some of you weren't seniors then. I was surprised to see some of them at the club, what's it called? The College Parkers, yeah, well, that was that recently. But it's been a few years since the mid-90s. I guess I have to realize that. But if age could speak, what would it say? It said some things already this morning, and I think the passage of Scripture, I believe it was Earl, if I got that name right, that was read this morning, you know, it talked about love. And if age could speak, I think it would speak about the importance of loving God, loving family, and loving others. Jesus, in Matthew and also in Luke, it was recorded in both Gospels, was asked a question about which commandment was the most important. In the Old Testament, we have 600, and Moses boiled it down to 10, Jesus boiled it down to 2. I tell folks, and I've heard it said before, that I'm just trying to work on one, and that's love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind, with all my might, with everything that I am. And the second is to love my neighbor as myself. I think it would speak about the importance of love. You know, Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5 says, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure and good conscience and a sincere faith." I think love would also speak about the importance of learning to fear God. I have several passages. I'll just read one. But Ecclesiastes, Solomon boiled it down. He said, you know, of all these different things, he said, the most important is to fear God and to keep his commandments. I think age would speak about the importance of learning to fear God. And that doesn't mean fear as in running from him, but it means fear as in awe, as respect and reverence, reverencing God. I think also it would speak about the brevity of life. If age could speak, I often heard said time and time again when I was growing up, oh, you grow up, kids grow up so fast. And now that I have a 7-year-old sitting on the front pew, he seems like he was 3 yesterday. They do grow up fast. And I think age would speak about the brevity of life. Psalm 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." I sense in this room there's great wisdom from those who I know and those whose testimony I have heard this morning. There's other passages that I could mention as well that speak of the brevity of life and that life is but a vapor. But I think age would speak about the brevity and the challenge to make the most of our days. And the last thing that I wanted to mention this morning, and I want to challenge you, maybe you have a thought this morning about something. If age could speak, what would it say? Maybe you have a thought that I haven't mentioned, and I would love to hear that because this sermon is kind of an ongoing sermon. But the last thing that I wanted to share is that age would speak about the importance of pressing on and fighting the good fight. In Philippians chapter 3, which I'd like to read this morning, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, Paul says, "Now that I have already, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The importance of pressing on and fighting the good fight. 2 Timothy 4:7 is the last passage I'd like to read this morning. And Paul says this near the end of his time. He says, "I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith." You could speak far better than I could of, I've had some difficulties in my life, but many of you have had great difficulties in your life, and you could speak far greater than I about the importance and the significance of pressing on and fighting the good fight. But if age could speak to us today, it would challenge us to do just that. I want to close with a story, and the story, again, as we think about the question, how will you and I respond to age? I want to answer that question with a story. Again, how will you and I respond to age? The story is told about a Chinese philosopher who held a bird in his hand. And again, think about this. A Chinese philosopher held a bird in his hand, and he asked the question, is this bird dead or alive? And those in the class knew that if they said the bird was alive, the professor could squeeze the bird to death. But they also knew that if they said the bird was dead, the professor could open up his hand and let the bird fly away. And finally, after a long pause, somebody in the back of the class raised their hand and said, "The answer to the question lies in your hand." The answer to the question of how you and I will respond to age as it approaches lies in our hand. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the witness and the testimony that it has within this community. I thank you for the love that is within this room. I thank you for the testimony that their love for one another, as you say in John 13:35, by this all men will know that we are his disciples by our love for one another. Father, I pray that the testimony of this congregation's love, not only for its people, but also for its community would be evident and be far greater even in the days ahead. I'm thankful for its relationship with Baptist retirement homes, in particular Brookridge Retirement Community. I'm thankful for the financial gifts that they give. Lord, I ask that you would bless them, that you would shower your favor upon these people, that, Lord, that your love, that your light may shine even brighter in the city of Winston-Salem, in the state of North Carolina, and around our world because of what you're doing in the lives of College Park Baptist Church. Lord, we're grateful for what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ, in giving us salvation. And we look forward to that time when we will be with you, when we have fought the good fight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
I'd just like to say that if, as Raymond would offer out to you if he were here, if anybody would like to come by and talk with him about joining the church or making a profession of faith in any way, that you would come and call and seek that out this week. And just know that we are glad that you're here today. Thank you for your support of our senior adults. And Keith, we just thank you for your words. And we just would like to have you back soon, so you could have a more expanded message there. But we just thank you so much for being here, for your good words about the Baptist retirement homes, but especially the words about following Christ and the brevity of life and of love. And we thank all of those who helped to lead today also, who gave testimony, Carolyn and A.C., and the others who helped to lead. So let's bow for our benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this day, this beautiful day of sunshine. We thank you for the time we've had together, and we ask that your presence now go with us from this place and just use us to be thy light in a dark world, and use us, Lord, as your instruments to each other and to those who do not know you yet. In thy name we pray. Amen.